Hello, this is BitNote, and I'm David Collins. We'll be talking about video games and video game music. I hope you enjoy. Well, why don't we start off with our first song then? I know, let's just get straight into it. Right into the song, no hesitation, no... I'll just play the song, okay? And that was Calling with vocals by Leah, by Takaharu Ishimoto, Japanese, would you believe? And that from the video game World Ends With You by Square Enix. The World Ends With You is actually a pretty fun game. It's, at the time, it takes place in Shibuya, or I'm not sure how you pronounce it, Shibuya. And which is actually a place, a district area of Tokyo. So it's actually a real-life location. The game starts pretty unusually. You're just a regular teen, angsty, walking through some high-end shopping district in Tokyo. And suddenly some weird stuff happens and you start getting attacked by monsters. And some people are suddenly calling you your friends, even though you don't really know them very well. And there are cars involved and great monsters are attacking and you can read people's thoughts. And it just starts to get weirder from there. as you talk to a lot of characters, you gradually figure out that apparently, rather morbidly, you had actually died somehow, although you can't remember how, and that apparently you're not completely dead yet because you've entered this contest, and if you win the contest, you get to go back to life again. Yeah, it's kind of a weird game, but it kind of works, really, because it's like you're in this alternate reality version of the real-life world, and you're battling these ghosts, and you have all these challenges, and you just have to keep winning, really. And, obviously, if you don't win, you get erased, and that's bad stuff, because I think that means the actual death, rather than the death that seemed to have got you into this game in the first place. And it's actually a lot of fun. There's a lot of groovy graphics and everything. It's a role-playing game, and most of the there's a huge amount of text, a lot of dialogue, so you get to learn about all the characters and their motivations and their backgrounds and why they believe this way. And the game also has a habit of just and all these little details, and the game has a habit of, like, the character will reveal one startling piece of information, you're desperate to know more, but no, the game is moving on to the next section, you'll have to complete this next section in order to learn more. So it's kind of one of those games where if you do get interested in the plot, you continue to get frustrated and try to race through the game to learn more and more about it. As for the actual gameplay, there's not really any puzzle solving as such. It's just a case of just trying to find the right person to talk to, and then the game will progress. But there are battles, and that's kind of one of the more interesting areas of it. Basically, it's on the Nintendo DS, this game is. And essentially, you got the stylus, and then you're able to customize these pins that give you different attack power. There are basically several different ways you can attack, and so sometimes you'll be pressing the stylus against the screen and moving it around to start fires and destroying them. And other times you'll swipe across the screen and it'll, like, swipe like a slash attack against the enemies. I think my favorite one was when you just grabbed a car and just swung it around the screen, because I really don't think there's a much better way to defeat demonic monsters than using telekinesis to move a car and slam them into it. It's kind of funny, actually, you know. You wouldn't think that most demonic animals that are attacking you would be susceptible to the simple mundanities of being hit by a car. But it worked, and who can deny the results? Also, it had this other thing, you'd be the main character, you'd play the main character, but there'd be this other character who would have, like, special attacks at the top of the screen, you know, dual screen, DS, there are two screens. It was always hard, because you had to, like, press these keys, and it was always hard to focus on both screens at the same time. So normally I just mashed randomly at the D-pad, just hoping that whatever they were doing on the top screen was actually good, while I focused on the bottom screen and actually defeating the damn enemies. It's got one of those, like, Japanese-y plots, and there's a lot of twists and turns, and obviously gradually parts of the memory come back, but they're not telling the whole story, and then say they tell more of the story. And it kind of transpires actually interesting. It turned out that, you know, no one who was in this show, you know, ended up in it by accident. They all decided to enter the show. And as a result, it was to grant one wish, and as a result, they had to forfeit something in the process. And I thought it was always kind of interesting, you know, what each of the characters forfeited. Because, I don't know, I always kind of like those sort of questions. When you've got a bunch of people, and you can both give them something and take away something from them, and they have to decide what those things are. I'd say you'd learn a lot about people if they're in a situation like that. And that's one of the reasons I like the game. It makes you think about stuff like that. And it just... And I think that's the reason a lot of these sort of games are popular. It's a try to give you a window on what other people think and what they do. And since you can actually read minds slightly in the game, that's kind of what they're doing, trying to understand the people around them. All right, I think we're going to move on to another classic track. And when I mean classic, I mean classic. I mean, if you don't know what this track is, boy, I mean, actually, one of the other radio stations on this channel actually use it in their advertising, but damn it, I'm going to use it anyway. And if you don't recognize it, well, I think you will. All right, I think we all know what game that was from. Tetris for the Game Boy, released 89, and boy, was it a big hit. I mean, literally, if you are in a house and you see a Game Boy, and you see there is one game in the back of that Game Boy, you know it's Tetris. It is always Tetris. This literally happened to me once. It was one of the really old models with like four batteries. I knew it was Tetris. It always is Tetris. You go to a friend's house back in the early 90s. You see a Game Boy. You see a bunch of grain cartridges. One of them is always Tetris. Tetris was everywhere. It's been ported to pretty much every single platform since then. It is, everyone knows what Tetris is. People have, it's basically everywhere. You can play it for anything. It is Tetris. Boy, so I suppose I might as well talk a bit more about that theme, since I suppose most people are so familiar with the game itself. Well, the Tetris theme A it's called, was arranged by Hirokazuya Tanaka, who has done a lot of music for classic Nintendo video games of the era, Kid Icarus, so forth. But you may or may not know that it's actually not an original tune itself. It's actually based on a Russian folk tune that's part of this poem about a young girl and a peddler. And it's kind of one of those little tragedy things. But the point is, it's pretty classic tune, actually. It's called Korobeyaniki. And I apologize to all my Russian listeners who may be out there who are staggered at my terrible pronunciation of that word. Now, it's actually kind of funny. The tune's been used in a lot of places. I was actually surprised. You know the Deer Hunter movie, like back in the 70s? I was listening to that, and suddenly during the Greek Orthodox wedding, the tune picked up, and I was going, hey, Tetris theme. So it was nice to hear a cheery tune I associated with a video game in a movie that is about the horrors of war, among other things. Also about working class America, I suppose, or something. Anyway, yeah, I mean, Tetris obviously has a huge history behind it. There's no denying that. It was actually originally developed by a guy called Alexei Pajintov. And he originally couldn't actually get royalties on it because he was employed by the Russian government and they got royalties from it. Eventually, he formed the company in 1996 called the Tetris Company, got rights to the game, and pretty much any Tetris game now is licensed by the Tetris Company. Well, when I say pretty much any Tetris game, I mean official game with Tetris in the name. I think we all know of countless different freeware and twist versions of Tetris I have. I mean, it's been remixed so many times. I mean, I've seen a one-dimensional version of Tetris online. Yeah. You basically have a long line bar at the bottom of the screen, and blocks come that might be a group of two or three, and they hit the bottom of the screen, and the line's complete, and because it's only one-dimensional, there's literally only one channel, and then the next one come down, and it gets pretty repetitive. I think the reason you're meant to just start it and stand back. Actually, one of my favorite versions of Tetris actually is a game called Not Tetris 2. Literally, I mean that's definitely a trademark violation. Don't get me wrong, but it's an indie game. You can get it free online by Stab Yourself. I don't mean that as a command. That's literally the name of the indie company that makes the game. It's available online, just Not Tetris 2. And the fun thing about it is it actually uses realistic physics. So it's not just, you know, the way you move the block left or right and it just goes down into precise grid-like formation. No, this is a game where if you don't get them directly in the gap, they'll hit the edge and tumble over to the side. I mean, it's crazy. It does give you some leeway because otherwise it would be pretty much really, really hard because you don't have to get it exactly from one side to the other. But you have to be careful because sometimes you'll just, you know, sometimes what you'll try to do is cause a bit of chain reactions because maybe you have to just keep it as low as possible. And you have to like get it precise and then you also have to think chaotically, try to move the blocks and so that when it disappears that the remaining blocks above it just fall down and like fill in gaps and everything. It's a lot of fun because it's just Tetris with realistic physics and it's fun because I always just imagine playing a game like that, and so I'm pretty glad that someone tried that out. The original Tetris, well, I mean, there's actually several different versions of Tetris, but the Game Boy version that I just played, that was developed by Bulletproof Software and Nintendo. I'm not really sure where Bulletproof Software is now. I need to do a little more research on these things. But yeah. I think what we'll go to now is another little fun little game. I'm not sure how many of you will have played this. It's kind of obscure, and I got a little bit of pain just trying to get the actual music to this game. But I'm going to play it, and hope you like it. So, anyone know what game that's from? It is from Teof, a game from the Sega Dreamcast. And yes, it was around, it was the only platform it was on, since not that many people had a Dreamcast, I guess not many people would have had this game. And it's a golfing game, actually. Yep, it's a nice cartoony golfing game. I think it's the only golfing game the Dreamcast had. No Tiger Woods, no professional thing. It was just a fun golfing game with cartoony characters, and you just played along. One thing I found when I was playing that is it's like that music you play, it's right in the intro sequences. Just as you start it up, a nice little cutscene goes on, and you see all these nice little cool cartoon characters, and there's a nice setup and little scenes happening with the characters. But when the game actually starts, you choose your characters, and you play through the game, but that's kind of it. I mean, it's like the cutscene sets you up for all these interesting characters, and all you really get out of them during the game is maybe slightly different skills and the same phrase they repeat every so often. Yeah. The gameplay is fun. You got bright environments, blue sky, green fields. You hit the ball a few times. It's one of those damn things where you have to time it just right. There's also this weird 3D putting thing. It's like the holodeck or something. It's where you just basic mini game after some of the stages where there are all these like matrix lines grid you're in a simulation. You have to like put the thing through. It's kind of weird, but The game's fun. They say it's best played with multiplayer, you know, with friends, and I didn't have friends to play with at the time. I think they made fun of me for having a Dreamcast in the first place. Thanks a bunch, guys. But at the same time, it was the game had charm. It was a lot of fun, and I think it was a bit of a sleeper hit as well. The people who developed it were called Bottoms Up. Literally, no exaggeration. They were literally called Bottoms Up. And they actually produced another game for the Dreamcast, which I never played, called Coaster Works, where you actually created a roller coaster and could like ride it, like first-person perspective and all this sort of stuff. It sounds cool. It was one that piqued my interest, but I never really went for. So I gotta maybe I should look that up sometime. The actual music, however, I couldn't figure out. I'm sorry, it was enough trouble even getting that theme. I'm still not sure who actually created that theme or who sung it. I'm sorry. If any one of you great listeners out there know who sung and composed that tune, please give us a call. The contact details are on the official Dublin South FM website. Thank you very much. Or you can probably get them from wherever you got this downloaded this music from, anyway. So, okay, so that was a fun little game. Alright, for our last track of the show, I'm going to mix things up a little with a remix, effectively. I think I've been playing a lot of original music from video games pretty much the whole time, and I think that's great because there are a lot of really talented composers, musicians, singers, everything in the music industry that are working on video games, and I think they deserve the recognition for working on these great pieces, and that's part of the reason I do this. Well, part of it. But it's not just a case of someone putting out their song and that being it, because a song is not nothing if it doesn't inspire. Well, okay, it's a lot of things if it doesn't inspire people, but it's something more. A good song will always inspire people, and if people are inspired, they create their own stuff, and sometimes it's original, or sometimes it's a little close to the roots, or a remix. In short, there are a lot of people out there who like remixing songs they know, and video game music is no different. There's actually a website out there, The Overclocked Remix, or OC Remix, with some weird capitalization, that's devoted to fans making remixed versions or alterations or rearrangements of the music that they loved as a child. I mean, there's a lot of different remixes out there. They do a lot of different things. Sometimes it's just as they take a tune which is nice and they convert it into a completely different genre or theme or tone. And I think some of my favorite ones are when they take a music that was at the time held back by the limitations of, you know, the chip tunes and the hardware at the time, and then they just make it everything people imagine it to be. I mean, you know, throwing in electric guitars where earlier there were beeps or orchestral stuff, or there are just so many different ways that you can take some of these classic, iconic and melodic tunes and then just rearrange them in so many crazy combinations or fun stuff, or just express things that are different. I mean, I think it's great, actually, because, I mean, video games tend to be, you know, some people make them and a heck of a lot of people play them, but I always just admire it when people are inspired by something and they put their own twist in something. They express it back. They share. They come up. They're inspired by what they have, and they want to put their own twist and express their own feelings about it. And I mean, that's great. I think that's so that's why I'm playing the tune what I am playing right now. Now, this is one of the albums that OCR Remix put out. It is Project Chaos, which is basically remixing music from Sonic 3 and Knuckles, which is technically there are two separate games, Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and Sonic and Knuckles, but actually, I won't get into that right now, but technically they're often just taken together, which is how it was intended. And with this whole project was about remixing these tunes. Now, I had a lot of tunes to choose from this album. I mean, they had like basically two CDs worth of music plus bonus tracks. But I chose this one because it's kind of catchy. It's kind of a bit fun. It takes the Marble Garden Zone theme and just completely changes it into something that's completely on its own. I actually first found it by this animation on the internet by E.D. Tweet, which was basically about Sonic and friends and some funny adventures. And I suppose that gave me a good impression of the song, because it's like listening to a song in a movie. You know, whenever you listen to it again, it brings back good memories. But the song is good on its own, though. It was composed, remixed by Dan Baranowski, remix of Marble Garden. As you know, the original game was by Sega, and the original music composers, and this is tricky, I couldn't find the exact composer, but it's one of Brad Buxter, Bobby Brooks, Daryl Ross, Joe Grace, Doug Grisby III, C. Sicaro Sirico Jones, and possibly Michael Jackson. That's a whole different story. Just don't worry about it for now. But for now, I'll leave you with this tune. It is called Knuckle Duster. I hope you enjoy. This has been David Collins on BitNote. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back.